This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
And I want nothing but the best for you both.
See, I tried to cancel it out with some LA and it didn't work. I knew he was going to come back with that. For the entire version of that song, make sure you tune into the stream.
Yeah, it's only on the stream. You're going to get a full performance of Alanis Morissette's You Ought to Know. Lonzo asks, what song do they play when the boys drop the gloves and throw fisticuffs on the ice in Canada? And we were running through, like, Canadian artists that would fit. My answer, Avril Lavigne had some absolute slappers that could go. And then somebody on the stream, who was it? James said, Alanis Morissette's You Ought to Know. And You Ought to Know is just on that list of songs that if you say You Ought to Know by Alanis Morissette, I'm not going to be able to get it out of my head until I sing it. All right? I'm just not.
It's better than that song that was in your head earlier. So, I mean, there's
which
that.
Which you've now just put back in my head without even saying what it is. You guys remember the Waltons? So how many of y'all are old enough to remember the Waltons? Good night, Jim Bob. The mom-in-law.
Not Mary Ellen.
When the stepfather-in-law, who passed away last week, which is why I was out last week. Shout out George Fowler, who was an incredible human being who was nothing but... Well, I'll scratch that. After he put me through the paces to make sure I was worth his daughter, which I was, obviously. After he put me the paces, after he gave me the test to make sure I was a worthwhile gentleman, which, again, obviously... George Fowler was nothing but kind and compassionate and giving, and what, you know, if the wife or I needed something, he was there. The ultimate mark of a man is how he takes care of the people around him. The ultimate mark of a man is how he cares for the people that surround him. The ultimate mark of a man is how he provides for the people that depend on him. And George Fowler was all of those things in spades. RIP, he will be missed. My stepfather-in-law was a fantastic human being, and Courtney and I will both miss him tremendously moving forward. While he was in, he had been in the hospital for a number of weeks with some medical issues. The mom-in-law was staying with us. The hospital he was in was just closer to our house, and it was just easier for her to stay with us to be able to get back and forth every day. And she is a big fan of the Waltons, the old TV show from back in the day, which is fine. She watched it every day. And I got to tell you, I had never watched the Waltons. And now I kind of love the Waltons, all right? Good show. And for the record, just since we've already tiptoed this line a lot of times, solidly, interestingly progressive show for the time, right? Like, solidly, interestingly a progressive show for the time. Except for the damn theme song for the Waltons has been stuck in my head for 2.5 months now. Ba-da-da-da-da. Ba-da-da-da-da-da. Night, Jim Bob. Oh, dude. And I every time... I get it out of my head by replacing it with Alanis Morissette's You Ought to Know. I made the mistake of telling Lonzo that the Waltons theme song is stuck in my head. And now he reminds me that the Waltons theme song is still stuck in my
head. It was definitely an error in judgment. I've already added it to my Spotify, so it can just, you know, randomly show up in the office.
Do you believe in that thing where, like, if you get an earbug, if you get that song that's stuck in your head, the only way to get it out is to listen to that song?
No, I don't believe that works.
I don't either. I don't either. You know how I know that? The damn Walton theme song! It's on my Spotify. It's literally the last video I played on my YouTube because I listened to it on the drive in this morning because I woke up and I took a shower and I threw on the jeans and the hoodie. And as I was getting ready to leave, I'm packing up my backpack, right? Putting the laptop in, putting the tablet of truth in, putting it all in and sling the backpack over the shoulder. And there was a scene in the last episode of The Waltons that I watched like 2 days ago where Jim Bob is getting ready to go off to college. And he slings a backpack over his shoulder. As soon as I did that, I was like, oh, it's like Jim Bob going to college. Ba-da-da-da-da, in my head again. Can't listen to it on the I listened to a TV show theme song about life in the Appalachian foothills in the 1930s that aired in, I assume, like the 1960s. I don't even know when the show was on TV. But the theme song from that show has been in my head so much that yesterday, I listened to the DuckTales theme song because I don't know if there's a theme song that is more capable of being stuck in your head than here in Duckburg. Race cars, trains, and aeroplanes. It's a duck blur. We'll solve a mystery or rewrite history. DuckTales. Half of you did it. Half of you did it, and you know you did it. And it's going to be in your head the rest of the day. And even after listening to that theme song, I can't get the damn Waltons theme song out of my head. Ba-da-da-da-da, ba-da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da. I listen to other songs that have a like a do-do-do-do-do, like, you know, one of those like repeatable phrases to them, trying to get that stuck in there. And said, you know how bad it is to have a song stuck in your head for so long that you actively try to find other songs to get stuck in your head to take that one out? That's where I'm at right now. And I can't shake it. I can't make it stop. It's just, I'm at the point where I feel like I know. Like, you know how the like obsessive compulsive people, like people who genuinely have to get help because they can't get weird thoughts and stuff out of their head? Like, I feel like that because of a TV theme song for a show that hasn't been on the air in, I don't know, half a century? Coming up on an actual century? Like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. James said, life is like a hurricane. It's a duck blur. Woo-hoo! And that's not strong enough to get the Waltons theme song out of my head. Those of you that watch the Waltons, those of you that are of that generation and have tolerated me long enough to get to the point where you listen to me talk about the Waltons, yeah, listen to this. Tell me it doesn't get stuck in your head. If you're on the stream and you can't hear it, I'm sorry. But for the rest of you, enjoy. Got a nice little intro. Good acoustic, little picking and grinning. And then this.
What horned instrument is that?
I assume it's a trumpet, right? All right, you got the random Awuga car horn in there.
There's John Boy, old man Walton.
I also love that Grandpa is just Grandpa. It's like actor's name as Grandpa. Not a name. They don't give him a name. It's not like Grandpa Mac, Grandpa Billy Bob, Grandpa Jimmy John. No, no, no. Just Grandpa. Just Grandpa. It's going to be in your head the rest of the day. And especially if you watch this show. If you watch it, if it was a part of your makeup at any point, you're old enough that you watch this show, or maybe you're one of these people that like stuck around and you watched it back in the Nick at Night days, back when Nick at Night showed shows from when I was not born, and now they show shows from when I was born. Now they're showing shows from when I was an adult as throwback TV. It kind of hurts my feelings a little bit. That's okay. James said nothing the Dukes of Hazzard theme won't fix. Buddy, I've tried it all. That right there. Ba-da-da-da-da. It just pinging around the head. I can't make
it. All right, so I have shared that with everyone so it can be stuck in their head too, and blame Rob when that happens. It wasn't me. Wasn't me. It was Rob.
I am absolutely the "you will suffer with me" kind of person. I'm big enough. I'm man enough to admit that if something sucks about my life, I hope it sucks in your life too. And the Waltons theme song is right there for you. Does she speak eloquently? Wait, okay, I can't do the rest of that verse.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, stop.
In a theater.
Okay. How, what part of stop did you not? I mean.
All right. We've
talking
been
about just going out on a date. Does she go to a movie with you?
Obviously.
That's all. Yeah.
Love a good theater date. You know, a
wonderful film. I'm sure.
Love a good theater date. Nothing wrong with a good movie date. With Alanis Morissette, it's a great movie date. Is what I've been told.
And could get you arrested.
It's only illegal if you get caught. Them Duke boys better grow some wings. Start flapping their arms real hard. All right, sports.
Just trying to do Enos? I'm just
no. That was Merle Haggard when he narrated the show. They'd have that moment where like the Dukes would jump a big dirt ramp running away from Roscoe, and they'd like freeze the General Lee in midair. They'd like freeze it, and Merle's voice would come on narrating. He'd be like, "Them Duke boys better grow some wings." Or start flapping their arms real hard.
For sure, Boss Hogg lives in Pickens County.
Oh, man. We're dumb. I love it. I'm here for it. All right. I'm going to get this out real quick just because it's, we got like 4 minutes left in this segment. And it's not something that needs a whole segment. But you guys been following this, the fallout of the Luka Doncic trade? It's fantastic. The Mavericks are just melting down as an organization. They have kicked fans out of the arena, paying customers who bought tickets to come see their garbage basketball team play, have kicked them out of the arena for having the audacity of calling for the firing of the GM who just pulled off, again, perhaps the worst trade in the history of the NBA. Maybe sports as a whole. I haven't done the research. But it's in the competition. It's in the conversation. They've been kicking paying fans out. A guy the other day was featured on the local news. I actually have this as sound, but I can't play because I couldn't get my damn computer working. Who wore a shirt, bought a ticket, gained entry to the arena, had a shirt on that said, "Fire Nico." Nico Harrison, of course, the GM of the Dallas Mavericks, who made the trade for Anthony Davis, who played 31 minutes of basketball for the Dallas Mavericks and then went down to a adductor strain that is going to keep him out for probably a month, maybe a little bit longer. And I'm going to keep it a buck with you. I'm kind of waiting for the Shamston bomb. I'm kind of waiting for the Shams wow, I think is what we decided on.
We did. That's why I'm not standing right now. Abductor strain.
It happens to the best of us.
Yeah.
I'm kind of waiting for the Shams wow to come out on Twitter that Anthony Davis will be out the remainder of the season after having successful groin surgery, which is effectively what it was. The adductor is the little muscle that goes from the inside of your thigh and connects to right underneath your junk that keeps all that intact.
So when you pull a groin, is that the muscle that you pull? Because I pulled a groin before.
There's like four. There's the abductor. There's the adductor. One's on the outside. One's on the. I think the adductor is the one that's on the inside and runs up the inside of your thigh and connects at the crease. We'll call it. Big hockey guy today. The crease. So I'm waiting for the. I'm waiting for the announcement. The Shams wow that AD is going to be out for the remainder of the year after having successful surgery to repair whatever it was that broke in his groin. Welp, there was a piece that got dropped this past weekend in the New York Times, which is really interesting. Because apparently part of the reason that Nico Harrison moved on from Luka Doncic was that he was, and I'm using the word that the New York Times used, a Dallas Mavericks executive, Horolabos Vulgaris, which I'm pretty sure is also a Harry Potter spell, but that's the young man's name.
Or Latin for potty mouth.
Horolabos Vulgaris. I assumed it was a Game of Thrones reference. He was a Mavericks executive from 2018 to 2021. And he is quoted by the New York Times as saying, and I quote, "Every person who worked at the Mavericks except for me was terrified of this guy," talking about Luka Doncic. In the article, They say, quote, questions about the organization's ability to hold Doncic accountable followed. Quote, management unsuccessfully pushed him to get into better shape even as he dominated the league, averaging at least 27 points, at least 8 boards, and at least 8 assists during each of the 5 seasons following his first in the NBA. Doncic controlled more day-to-day decisions than the average player does, such as practice schedules. Those superstars on other teams receive similar treatment. According to the New York Times article, and according to Vulgaris, Doncic, who joined the Mavericks in 2018, and I quote from the article, quote, presented a different type of mentality from Kobe Bryant. Doncic drinks beer and smokes a hookah, neither of which is atypical for a 25-year-old, but those behaviors didn't fit in Harrison's mold. That's dumb. Not the beer drinking and the hookah smoking, because me too, Luca. Me too. I'm a big fan of a good hookah bar. And I truly believe that a good IPA is one of life's great pleasures. All right? I love a good beer. Love good hookah. Luka Doncic, even if he had the worst mentality in basketball history, was giving you 27, 8, and 8 as an average. As an average. I got to tell you, there's a lot of guys in the NBA that have awesome basketball mentalities. Win or die. I'm giving you everything I got. First in the gym, last to leave. I'm bulldogging everything. I'm getting on the ground, getting dirty, slapping the floor, playing defense. If there's a turnover available, I will sacrifice my body to get it. And you know what those guys do? They don't average 27, 8, and 8. I don't care if, who was it? I think it was Ryan Russillo that said last week on the show, I don't care if the man comes down the court dribbling the ball, smoking a cigarette, and drinking a 40. Sign him to the Supermax. Yeah. 27, 8, and 8 as an average. Who's got bad mentality? Okay. 27, 8, and 8. Like, I'm not a believer in, you know, if a player's great, they should be able to get away with anything. I believe that a player has to play within the mentality of the franchise. I also understand that if you want to win, a guy who goes 27, 8, and 8 is a really, really good guy to help you out with that objective. And if the worst I got to do is move a practice around so that he can get to the hookah bar in time, all right, this ain't high school ball. I'm not trying to teach this kid life lessons. I'm not trying to teach this kid how to be a productive member of society. He's a basketball player and a professional basketball league. If a kid on your high school basketball team goes, coach, I can't do practice from 3 to 5 because I got to go on a date with my girlfriend. You go, hey, kid, you get to make a decision. Do you want to be on this basketball team or don't you? You're teaching life lessons about accountability and being a good teammate. You're teaching life lessons to a high school kid. Luka Doncic was a 25-year-old NBA player averaging 27, 8, and 8, and you let him go because he liked to smoke a hookah, drink a beer, and he didn't always practice real hard. I got news for you. Some guys don't have to practice hard to go average 27, 8, and 8. And you let him go for Anthony Davis, who you have so far, 2 weeks, 3 weeks later? 3 weeks later, you've received 31 minutes of action, and we're all waiting for the drop of the Shams Wow that he is unavailable for the remainder of the season. Because he smokes a hookah and drinks a beer. Great job, Dallas. Great job. I've never been mad at a franchise for making a move they thought was going to be better. Here's the problem. If anybody in that organization thinks this move made you better, anybody in that building thinks this move made you better, the fans are right. You should be fired immediately because it didn't. 27, 8, and 8. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
So Trevor Lawrence makes a pitch for T. Higgins. That's not the interesting thing. That's obviously expected. Of course he does. Of course, I think just about every quarterback in the National Football League would make a pitch for T. Higgins, including Bryce Young with the Carolina Panthers. Here's the interesting thing. TL16 makes the pitch for T. Higgins to leave Cincinnati, come down to Jayville, and run back a very dynamic 1-2 punch from the Clemson Tiger days back in the days. And within an hour and a half, Shefty drops the report that the Cincinnati Bengals are going to hit T. Higgins with a second franchise tag. They're going to tag him again to keep him in Cincinnati. Took a couple of things away from this. Number one, Cincinnati's terrified that T. Higgins absolutely wants out. They're like, sorry, buddy, CBA, we can strong arm you into staying here with Joey B. We're going to pay you for it. Average of the top five salaries, and the top five wide receiver salaries are going up because Debo is getting traded somewhere from San Francisco, and wherever he goes, he's going to sign an extension, and it's going to be for like a lot of money, like a lot of money. So T. Higgins about to get paid to stay with Joey B. The second thing that I find interesting about this is that there's something wrong with the Cincinnati Bengals. Yesterday on BetMGM Tonight, Lonzo, we were going through a conversation, Jake Hassan, my co-host, and I. We're going through a conversation about which teams from this year do you think were on the inside of the NFL playoffs that will be bounced next year, and which teams on the outside of the NFL playoffs do you think will go in next year? And we both gave one team for both categories that we really liked. Actually, we gave two teams. One that we really liked and one that we thought was a dark horse. A dark horse to get bounced out of the playoffs next year. A dark horse to get in. A team that we really liked to get bounced out of the playoffs. And a team that we really liked to get in. My dark horse for team that gets into the playoffs next year was the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, y'all know how I feel about the city of Jacksonville. It's the butthole of America. I can't stand it. It's an awful place. If you ever get the chance to go ahead and pass. Go to literally any other city in Florida. You will have more fun. However, I made a comparison. I think I've done it on the show before, but if I haven't, what the hell? Let's do it right now. I made a comparison for Trevor Lawrence down there in Jacksonville, Florida, that I think is very apt. And that comparison is what happened with Bryce Young and the Carolina Panthers this year. Bryce Young shows up in Carolina. They partner up with Frank Reich. Did not go great. In fact, quite the opposite. It went real, real bad. Frank Reich gets canned. They go with Chris Tabor, the special teams coach, becomes the interim head coach. Bryce Young has two head coaches in his first year. He ends up with Dave Canales to start off year number two. Three head coaches in less than two full seasons of National Football League football. They also move out David Tepper. Yes, man, Scott Fitterer is the GM. They bring in Dan Morgan. Well, I don't necessarily have any hard confirmation of this. Just based on Dan Morgan, based on the interviews, based on the way he's talked about the team, and based on the fact that Dave Tepper listened to Rashad Beard and stepped back, I fully believe that Dan Morgan told Dave Tepper, here's the deal, buddy, I'll take the job, I want the job, I'll come here and run this football team, but I'm going to run this football team, not you. You divest yourself from the football decision-making process. You invest yourself into making this football team successful and profitable, but you let me run the on-the-field product, and we're going to be just fine. And I believe David Tepper listened to him. That's just based on circumstantial outside-looking in evidence. Let's look down at what Jacksonville, Florida's done.
How did that translate to wins?
Again, everything exists on a trajectory, on a gradient. That Carolina Panther football team.
What the heck is a gradient?
Like a gradient. You know, a gradient, like it's red at the top and it's blue at the bottom, and then the color shifts from one to the other. Nowhere in the middle do you say it's okay. Red or it's blue.
All right. I understand that now.
Yeah, a gradient. And the reality for me is there's being a real bad football team. There's being a real good football team. And everybody in the NFL, every football team ever, everywhere, exists somewhere on that scale.
So the next time we do a graph, we're going to get gradient in there also?
I'm not against it.
Okay.
Not against it. Every team exists somewhere on the gradient between good football team and bad football team. And where they fit on that gradient is like trying to determine on a gradient from red to blue where red stops and where blue starts. I know where it's red up top, and I know it's blue at the bottom, but I don't know where in the middle I put my finger and go, this is where it stops being red and starts being blue. It's purple in the middle. That's how colors work, but you get the point. The Carolina Panthers on that gradient entered this year, last season. They entered on the real bad side of things. At the end of the year, I think we would all agree that they were a better football team than they were at the start of the year. Forget wins and losses. They were a better football team at the end of the year than they were at the beginning. Do we disagree with that?
So what you're saying is they participated.
Were they a better football team at the end of the year than at the beginning of the year?
They appeared to be better in spots, but it did not translate the wins, and that's what most people care about.
That's fair, but I do think that what is also fair is to say
You know who cares about that a lot? People who go to games, people who buy tickets. They really like to see the fact that the team that they're going to go see wins some games. That makes them want to go see them more.
Trajectory. You don't go from bottom of the barrel to Super Bowl champion in a day. It's a trajectory. Your Chiefs were garbage for a long time.
They were never garbage.
They trajectoried upwards.
They were good. And sometimes average, but never garbage. Here's the thing, though. You got to stop doing that.
Yeah, I know. I realize what that looked like. Yeah. So that's switched it to one finger trajectory.
You're going to get canceled.
I'm going to get Elon'd.
You are going to get Elon'd. So in this trajectory that you're talking about, at what point do wins come into play? Because you're pointing upwards, mm-hmm. which would mean that it's going to get better and better and go higher and higher and mm-hmm. higher. Record next year. For the upward trajectory, because you said next year is still not the year, it's the year after, right?
Yep.
So next year, 7 wins?
I think 7's in play.
Okay.
I think 8's in play.
Okay.
I think being above 500 is in play next year.
So
now wait.
That trajectory means you'd be in line to actually win the South.
We still got free agency. We still got the NFL draft. We still got to see what injuries come in and go out as far as spring ball and then camp in the fall. There is a...
So the trajectory could dip is what you're saying.
Sure.
Like hit
That's
a
how
rut.
Trajectories work.
Okay.
That's how vectors work.
It could level off for a little bit
100%.
And then head back up.
100%. Could also dip down and go downwards for a minute and come back up. We'll see. The point here is, in order to establish an upward trajectory, which I believe, Rashad Beard believes, the Carolina Panthers are on right now, they had to make some changes. They had to get rid of Scott Fitterer, the yes man for David Tepper. They had to get rid of Frank Reich and his coaching staff, a coaching staff that just did not have the chutzpah to be good. They had to go get Dan Morgan, a GM who said, yes, Tep, I'll take over the team, but you got to get the hell out of the way, and made him do it. And they went and got Dave Canales, a guy who has proven over the past couple of spots as an OC that he understands how to not just work with a quarterback, but how to massage his offense to fit the quarterback, not massage the quarterback to fit the offense. I think those things happened. I think Carolina's trajectory is up.
Poor choice of words. I wish you wouldn't have used them.
Well, he's not a kicker, so we're good.
Or an owner.
So.
Or a quarterback.
How many?
Wait a minute. He is a quarterback.
How many first round picks does
he is a quarterback? Right?
How many first round picks does Cleveland send into Baltimore?
I don't know. So back to Trevor Lawrence.
Yep.
What if he's just what he is? What if this is all he's ever going to be in the NFL? What if it has nothing to do with coaching? What if it has to do with his talent having plateaued?
Directly, the point that I was driving at here. Well, the conversational foundation I was driving at here. I look at the Jacksonville Jaguars. They bring in Liam Cohen as their new HC. He was the OC that replaced Dave Canales.
Duval.
In fairness, he did correct it the next day. He did lean in with a very from the gut, Duval.
It's too late. The internet.
It was
forever.
Too late. Yeah. You're not wrong. In fact, yesterday, out of nowhere, Hayden Asmario, producing the show last night, dropped a Duval on us when we were having this conversation. You get memed, you stay memed. Sorry, it's how the internet works. Nothing dies. So they bring in an OC who, yes, for 1 year, took what Dave Canales did with Baker Mayfield, and he kept that momentum rolling. Tampa Bay Buccaneers win the South. Granted, it's like winning a dumpster diving contest. You might be proud you're still covered in garbage, but you are the champ of the garbage. Good for you. They bring in this guy who's worked with quarterbacks, guy who understands quarterbacks. They also replaced Trent Baalke, who was nothing more than a yes man for Shad Khan for a very long time. We don't know who the GM is yet, which I find very interesting that the combine's like 2 days from now. Not literally. I don't know. It's like next week. But the combine's right around the corner. They don't have a general manager yet. Yesterday, Kay made the joke of, hey, Trevor, are you going to have to go to the combine and scout? And you could tell it kind of made him uncomfortable because, like, maybe. But they made that move. All the things the Jacksonville Jaguars are doing around Trevor Lawrence right now, the same set of things that the Carolina Panthers did around Bryce Young, we saw an immediate He sat for a little while. Then he came back. We saw an improvement from Bryce Young. Here's the thing about TL16. We're now going on to what, year four at this point? The Urban Meyer excuse is in the back pocket. The Doug Peterson excuse is in the back pocket. You got a coach who works with quarterbacks. You're going to have a GM who is new, who is fresh-faced, is likely not going to be a Shad Khan yes man, or it would be a mistake if he is. We'll find out. We don't know who the guy is going to be. They got a pool of five candidates. Zero of them have ever been a GM before. We'll find out. This is a prove-it year for Trevor Lawrence. You prove it this year, or you prove you're not it. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
So glad you found that.
Oh, Gronk. Gronk was on Edelman's pod again, and he asked him, do you like Asian food? Gronk's like, what's Asian food? Edelman's like, it's, like food from countries that are on the Asian continent. China, Japan, Korea, Vietnam, India. Gronk's like, is orange chicken Asian food? Because I like orange chicken. And in fairness, it's a good pick. I do like an orange. I'm a big General Tso's chicken guy. Had it for dinner on Saturday. Big General Tso's chicken guy. Love some good Chinese food, okay? Gronk was completely lost in the conversation, and I'm just here for it. At this point, if you're not a Rob Gronkowski fan, I don't know. I don't know why not. He's just a big, lovable goof at this point. The worst thing, like, you know how every now and then you get scared because, like, you actually end up liking an athlete, and then something comes out that you're like, oh, man, that's disappointing. Now I have to dislike you, even though I really did like you. At this point, I just hope Rob Gronkowski stays clean forever. Because he's just a big, lovable goofball.
What do you mean by clean?
Just, like, don't have done anything terrible. And don't do anything terrible, all right? Don't turn out to be Deshaun Watson, all right? Don't go out and
had an excellent DUIs. Reputation, supposedly, until that point, so.
Yeah, it's so weird. Everybody I've ever talked to that knew him, covered him, whatever, worked around Clemson, said he was just a stellar stand-up human being, and then not that.
I did hear a few things, but it's just about, you know, stealing people's girlfriends. But, you know.
I mean, he's that's a quarterback of a D1 football team. Kind of comes with the territory.
Star quarterback.
Star quarterback. Heisman threat. Natty winner. Kind of comes with the territory. Unfortunately, for those of us that are just normal dudes, and we're not. Quarterbacks of D1 football teams. That's how it goes. Sometimes beef wins. It's a reality.
I just want you to know, in case you've forgotten, we win trophies around here.
That's also true.
I mean,
we are the D1 quarterbacks of local sports soccer.
We are. Hopefully, we don't have the same problem that that the Chiefs did. We are reigning defending for 2 years running.
I don't mean to sell out my own mother here. For those of you that are not watching the stream, which you should, Facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, TheFanUpstate on YouTube, or now, welcome back, TheFanUpstate on Twitter. Or the Rob Brown Show on Facebook, on YouTube, or on Twitch, because we're hip young millennials. I have done the entire show standing up today, all right? Your boy put like 12 back on since the wedding, got up to about 230, working to get back down, kind of want to hang at that like 220 weight, sitting at about 227, want to get it down to 220. And got told by a dear friend of mine who works in this industry that one of the things that they did that made losing weight a little bit easier for them was to stand up when they do their show. They also do a 4-hour show. They said, I started standing up during the show. Feel better every show. And I got to tell you, I do. I've been doing the whole show standing up. My mother, my dear sweet mother, just texted and said, do you have to pee or are you high? I'm just standing up. I'm just standing up.
But yeah, my concern the entire time was the fact that you can't be still and you are being shifty. And I know why you're being shifty, because it hurts.
I'll tell you.
That's why you're doing it.
Had some listeners say at the beginning of the show, over under for amount of segments, Rob stays standing is 2. We are 10 minutes from the end of the radio broadcast. I'm still standing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I missed my prediction by 3 hours, so yeah.
Take that. I'm out of news for you. I'm going to do it again tomorrow.
We'll see.
Unless I can't, which might be on the table.
I hope you can. I'm just excited, and I hope I don't jinx it. They went all this time and you haven't knocked anything over. Because I thought for sure something was...
You did.
Yeah.
I put the camera, webcam up on a box. You know, television, basically. Got to have camera at eye level. So I moved the camera up onto a box and Lonzo's like, well, that's going to fall. Then I moved my cell phone clip and moved it to a different spot so it was a little more accessible while I'm standing. Lonzo's like, you're going to knock that over. Started spinning the football around. He's like, oh, God, just don't break anything on my side of the board. Clean show over here.
Now, if you could just leave the microphone alone, we'd be great.
Can't promise that. That's a little different. Major League Baseball pitchers and catchers have reported. We're now just a handful of days away from the beginning of spring training. The Atlanta Braves are interesting. Made a couple of moves, mainly losing guys. Max Fried is now a New York Yankee. Uncle Charlie Morton is now a Baltimore Oriole, is half their pitching staff, now belongs in the AL East. They did add one bat in Jurickson Profar, which is kind of interesting. 31-year-old player had a whale of a season last year for the San Diego Padres. This is also a cat who just a couple of years before that got cut by the Colorado Rockies. The Rockies got cut by the Rockies. That's not great. So the Braves going all in on the fact that Jurickson Profar maybe found a little something last year. Maybe the bat woke up. Maybe he's a dude now. They're going to put him out there in the outfield in a platoon situation to cover up until Ronald Acuna Jr. comes back from his knee injury, in which case you'll have a pretty good outfield. Maybe the best outfield in Major League Baseball, it could be argued. Not said as a fact, but argued. That's a big deal for the Atlanta Braves. Outside of that, really not a lot going on in the offseason. So yesterday on BetMGM Tonight, we were doing a preview, a 2025 preview of the NL East. The Atlanta Braves come into this year as a plus 140 favorite to win the NL East. This is with a New York Mets team that just spent a gazillion dollars on Juan Soto to add to their outfield. They end up getting the re-signing of Big Pete as well to stay on at first base. Pete Alonso will still be a New York Met. There were questions about whether or not he would sign an extension with the team. He did indeed. So he ends up staying there. And, of course, the Philadelphia Phillies team that's just stacked with all-stars. One of the best 1-9 lineups in all of baseball. A lineup the Braves can compete with if and when everybody comes back and is fully healthy and preferably, unlike last year, not everybody on the team, with the exception of Matt Olson, does at least 2 months on the injured reserve list. We'll find out. The injury bug last year, this is what I said to Jake yesterday. Last year was a very humbling baseball season for Rob Brown, not because he was wrong about everything, quite the opposite. Nailed Paul Skeens as a rookie of the year pick, just like I did with Jaden Daniels. I know ball. I think I got four of the six division winners correct preseason. One of the ones I got wrong was the Atlanta Braves winning the NL East. And not only that, but I went on a number of podcasts and shows nationally and regionally across America and said with my whole damn chest, the Atlanta Braves over-under win total is a lock of the day, of the week, of the month, of the year, of the decade, of the century. Felt like an easy one. And I said yesterday on the show, I wasn't wrong. I just got derailed by the injury bug. Happens. Put together a real good program, put together a real good team, but everybody went down. Ronnie went down. Ozzy went down. Orlando went down. Just about everybody, with the exception of Matt Olson and the Big Bear, went down with extended injuries. The Braves were never able to build any chemistry. They are the favorites to win the NL East this year. Jake Hassan said yesterday, he's a big baseball guy for the BetQL Network. He said, wait a minute, Rob, how can you pick the Atlanta Braves as the favorite, not the Philadelphia Phillies, when the Phillies did it last year? How can you pick this team that only won, they only won 93 games last year? And I said, that's it right there. It's it right there. With all the injuries that they had last year, with the fact that they had probably like seven games where they had their opening day 1-9 play. They lost last year's reigning defending undisputed NL most valuable player in Ronald Acuna Jr. They lost all their infielders with the exception of Matty Ice. They lost all their outfielders for extended time. Never had any consistency in the lineup, and yet they were still a 93-game winner. Still a 93-game winner. If they can build that, they're going to be fine. And here is the thing, and this is why it's very interesting. Alex Anthopoulos is still the general manager of this baseball team. Alex Anthopoulos, as you know, built a team up two ways. Number one, he brings up young prospects. The Braves are sitting on a bunch of them right now, which is kind of interesting. Number two, Alex Anthopoulos is going to make some trades during the year. Vlad Guerrero Jr. and the Blue Jays just announced that they have failed to reach a contract extension. Vlad Guerrero Jr. is going into his last year on his current contract with the Toronto Blue Jays. That is the type of dude who ends up getting traded to a different direction. By the way, Vlad Guerrero Jr. is only 25 years of age. It feels like Vladdy Guerrero has been a member of the Toronto Blue Jays for a decade and a half. He's 25. He's still available. Free agency in November if he doesn't get traded. He's getting traded. And he's getting traded earlier in the season. Not a deadline last minute move. He's getting traded. Don't be shocked if the Atlanta Braves make that play. I don't know what they do. He plays first base. You can't put him at first base. Not when you got Matty Ice Baby Olson out there, who 2 years ago was the NL home run champ. I don't think you can replace him, but Vladdy can be a DH. You can move off of Marcell Ozuna, who is not just a lightning rod of controversy for the Atlanta Braves, but on top of that, has had an okay season last year. Wasn't the guy you want out of the position. Vlad Guerrero could come in and be a 25-year-old DH for like a while, like a hot minute. I'm interested to see if he is on the target list for the Braves. Con number two is standing up. I can't see the clock.
Well, there are other clocks around, including one on your computer.
Yeah, I know. I see that now.
Point that out. By the way, you stole a good portion of my sports X's just in that last segment.
So. Yeah, I saw you scratching furiously. That's my bad.
All right, so the first thing that's X-ing is Joe Flacco. You didn't get him.
Joe Flacco? That's Joe Flacco trending. Joe Flacco's trending because it's his 52nd birthday.
I believe he is trending because of they've named all the quarterbacks who've won Super Bowls in the last little bit, And most of them are AFC quarterbacks, and Joe Flacco's in that list.
Sure, why not? I'm down for it.
And he keeps coming back and keeps winning whenever he comes back, and good for him.
Can't be mad at a cat for trying.
All right, the next thing that's Xing is Dave Meltzer.
Okay, so there's a real interesting thing going on in the world of professional wrestling right now, and I credit Triple H for it. WWE is doing a fantastic job of just throwing fire onto the dirt sheets and, like, giving them some stories, but also giving them some false stuff to run with. They were the ones that ran with the Drew McIntyre was really mad after he lost his title a while back, wasn't going to re-sign, then he totally did. And, like, I really like it. I can't imagine we're not going to see Dave Meltzer have a full-on aneurysm on his web pod one day because he just keeps getting tricked.
Well, he and Bubba Ray are really going at it right now on X, so you should check that out.
Over what?
It's very entertaining. Over just about everything. By the way, LFG premiered last night. It's actually pretty good. You should watch it.
Yeah,
it's
basically, I saw some clips from it.
It's tough enough.
Yeah.
But with The Undertaker.
So. I'm here for it. I did see a clip with Bubba Ray, who was trying to bring some emotion out of one of the young ladies that was participating, and I'm like, oh, they are not holding back on this.
Oh, they're really, really going behind the scenes about psychology and things like that. It may be too much, but we'll find out. All right, the next thing that's Xing is Jade Cargo.
Jade Cargo. 100% Bianca put her down, right? 100%. At this point.
Yeah.
She was tired of carrying her. She had the opportunity to bring in Naomi. They immediately win the belt. 100% Bianca
Plus,
did it.
Jade Cargo versus Bianca at WrestleMania would be.
Slapper.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
I take that back. Bianca can go. Jade Cargo, not a great wrestler.
But
growing, getting better.
But she can carry her. And she's not wrestling right now because she was injured. So that's hurting her experience-wise. But out of all the possibilities of who hurt her, Bianca is the best bet.
Can you turn Bianca heel, though?
Her husband is.
Yeah, but they're getting divorced.
No, they're not.
That's what I heard.
Are they?
Yeah, I read somewhere this weekend that they're on the road to divorce.
I didn't see
that. Which is
either.
Sad. It's too bummer. Yeah. I like Montez a lot.
I have to look into that and see if that's true or if that's just more Dave Meltzer stuff.
But even so, like, she's a huge, again, it's kind of like Cody. Like, I'm tired of people, go turn Cody heel. He's not going to turn heel. He's the biggest merch seller in the company. They're not turning that heel. They're not throwing that away.
What if Jade hurt herself? We've seen that already, especially in NXT.
I can't wait for the surveillance clip where she just falls off a loading dock.
Yeah, she just fell into the car. It could be. All right,
hit the Peter Griffin.
Why not? The next thing that's Xing is Tom Holland.
I don't know why specifically he's Xing. I did see over the weekend that there was a discussion, and I don't even know if this is accurate, if it was just something I read in passing, but there was discussion about the potential, because I guess the next Spider-Man, because Holland's on for more Spider-Mans, the next one is going to be another multiverse movie, and the rumor is that Paul Giamatti wants to come back and do Rhino again, which, yes, please.
All right, so this is about Odyssey, the Odyssey movie, which everybody in
super
Hollywood
in for.
Is, so they just released pictures of Matt Damon as Odysseus. So now we know that Tom Holland is not Odysseus. So
I thought we knew that for like
a
while.
Yeah, there's rumors.
Oh, okay.
He didn't put out who was playing who yet. And they still don't know who Tom Holland is, but there's been speculation.
Not going to lie, all in for the Odyssey.
Oh, look, Shador is Xing.
I don't know why Shador is Xing.
Me either, but it just popped up.
I did see that Cam Ward was trending yesterday because he said that any team who passes on him as number one quarterback in the draft, he'll remember that. Okay, we'll find out. Hey, that's it for us. Thanks for being here. Hope you enjoyed the show. Yes, I did make it all 4 hours standing up because I am an icon in the sports broadcasting world. So
you can't see my throat slash on there, can you? I'm going to have to
bend. No, I can see you on the screen.
Okay, all right.
Y'all have a great rest of your day. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. We'll see you back here tomorrow to do it all over again, but better, on the award-winning Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Later.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.